Welcome to That Garden Show. We are your hosts. My name is Shannon.
And this is Harmony.
And we are so glad you're here with us today. Harmony, are you excited for our first episode?
I am so excited. I have not stopped talking about this to anyone and everyone who will listen. So I am so glad that we are doing this.
I know. I feel like we've been talking about it for a while and we had to work out all the logistics, but I'm so excited that we're finally launching. Today's episode, we were going to talk about storage, and that includes both seeds and our fall produce. Have you started doing your seed storage yet for the fall?
I have, yes. So I've started with a couple different things, but I've chosen not to save seeds from a lot of products that I've grown personally. And that's just because it was a first year garden with not so great soil. So I don't really want to save those seeds. The things that I have saved have just been flowers. So marigold, some coneflower, stuff like that.
Nice. I saved flower seeds for the first time this year as well. I saved some marigold seeds and I was so impressed by how many of those seeds are inside of one little flower.
Yeah, there are a lot of seeds in those tiny little flowers.
Yeah. Have you signed up for a seed swap yet? I just signed up for my first one. I'm really excited about it.
I have not. I feel like I'm saying no to all these answers, but no, I have not.
Oh, I'm sorry. However, we met through a seed swap, technically, so that counts.
That does count. That does count. So Shannon and I actually met through Instagram, which is kind of wild because I have met more people on Instagram locally to me since I've moved, since I've actually met like in person. But the way that we met was... Was it Instagram or Facebook? It was Instagram.
It was Instagram, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We were on a post talking about seeds, and I offered some, was it purple cauliflower, purple kale?
Cabbage. Purple cabbage, yes.
That's right. Some cabbage seeds, and we were able to meet up that way, and the rest is history.
Yes, hashtag seed swap. But I am really excited about my first seed swap. I don't recall the name of the woman who's putting it together. She's been doing it for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. But you can send in as many pairs as you, or as many seed envelopes as you want. And then how many ever you send in, that's how many you get back. Oh, and all it costs is shipping. So I'm really excited to join that.
Now, if somebody were interested in joining a seed swap local to them, what would they look for? How would they find that information?
Ooh, good question. There's also a local plant sale, which I told you about this weekend, but that's more for house plants. I'm really excited to go to my first in-person house plant swap. I think you just look under the hashtag seed swap. That's how I found them. Mm-hmm. And there are quite a few people who do it at various times of the year. I think we're getting towards the end of the seed swapping series, but or season, I should say. But this one specifically seemed to be more fall related, and I was really excited about that because I would like some more winter squash in my garden. And some, I didn't grow any pumpkins. I never have grown a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like fun for next year.
Gotcha. And I know Facebook is pretty big too. This spring we had a lot of people that were trading seeds and swapping seeds and stuff. So Facebook is another good place to look.
Good. I should check that out. Moving on, do you want to talk about preserving fall produce and, you know, the end of the summer produce? Mm-hmm. Even though we got our first frost already, sidebar. Yes. That was the worst. Did you get any damage?
No, my stuff is all okay. It's just hanging out.
Oh my gosh, you're so lucky. You guys, in Michigan, we got a frost mid-September, which is incredibly rare. Normally here in our season, it's more towards the middle of October. So I covered a bunch of stuff, brought a couple things inside that I could. But I did not have any damage either. I'm really happy about that.
That is really good. Really good. Okay. So preservation. So there's a lot of different ways that you can preserve, you know, your harvest. So depending on what it is, that's going to be the difference in how you preserve those products. So for instance, I grow a lot of herbs. So I do like chamomile, basil, anything like that. And with those, you really just want to dry them. You just want to dehydrate them. Some people will put them in the oven. Some people will dehydrate them. Some people like to just hang them out to dry. So with that, I personally like to dehydrate them. You can put them in the dehydrator and set it for about, you know, anywhere from an hour to 4 hours, and they're done. Versus if you hang them, then if you hang them in bundles, that can take like 2 or 3 weeks, which is a little bit longer, and then you have the risk for mold. If you put them in the oven, most ovens don't go low enough, so you end up burning them. So again, a couple different ways, and there's no like wrong way. It's just kind of your preference. But for me, my preference is to hang those, or not, sorry, hang those, is to dry those in a dehydrator.
That is good information, actually. I have not ever tried a dehydrator before. I should look. I've been looking into one, but I'm not ready to make a purchase just yet. I did try the oven method with some mint. It worked okay, but it is very delicate. You have to watch, you know, how long you leave it in there before you get the danger of burning it. I prefer freezing. I don't preserve a lot of herbs. It is definitely a goal of mine to, like, have all of my spices be stuff from my garden and, you know, never have to buy the spices in the garden or in the grocery store anymore. But I do freeze. I freeze a lot, and I've canned some things. Tomatoes is my favorite thing to freeze. I cut them in half, but you can also do them whole. And peppers. I do a lot of flash freezing of peppers and then putting them in a freezer bag. And then jams are my absolute favorite if I had to pick. And of course, applesauce. It's apple season right now, and I'm obsessed with apple season. If you didn't know that, it's on my Instagram, but apples are the best.
I also like to freeze, and I like to can, just water bath canning, but this year I really didn't get into that, just because my harvest was a little bit smaller. So I really like refrigerator canning. So making jams and jellies and salsas and stuff, not canning them, just putting them in the refrigerator. I like to do small batches. That way, if I find out, wow, I really didn't like this recipe because I tried a new recipe, I haven't wasted a whole bunch of produce. So doing small batches and then doing refrigerator canning is definitely a good way. If you are new to preserving your own food, if you're new to canning, I don't really think you can even call it canning. Just, you know, refrigerator
pickling. Right, you don't even need a canner.
Maybe refrigerator pickling would be a better, well, they're not all pickled, so.
Refrigerator preserving.
Yeah.
And how long would you say something like a refrigerator pickle, or, you know, I like to do the pepper rings, the banana and the jalapeno rings in the pickle juice or in a pickle-like juice. How long would you say that's good in the fridge?
It depends on how adventurous you are.
Okay.
I have eaten pickled turnips that have been in there, you know, 6 months later.
Interesting. And totally, they still taste fine?
Still taste fine till, you know, they still have that kind of crunchiness to them. But my husband, for instance, he won't, if it's been 3 weeks, he's like, he doesn't want to try it. So
we go about 2 months in our house. My dad makes some amazing pickle chips. I call them Charlie's pickle chips. Shout out to my dad. There's like a sweet and sour buttered, you know, pickle type. I love it because they have the ridges, which I don't know why that makes a pickle taste better, but it does to me. And we leave those in our fridge for a few more months, maybe like 3 or 4 months. But they get eaten so fast in our house, we can barely hang on to them.
Yeah. So what other methods of preservation do we have on the topic to discuss today?
Well, I wanted to, one more thing on canning. I wanted to ask, I've tried peaches before and the color changed a little bit. Have you ever experienced that? I think citrus is the answer, but I need to find an expert in making the fruit, especially the peaches specifically, like really hold that beautiful color.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that one. So listeners, if you guys have a good answer for that, we would love to absolutely hear that.
Yes, drop it in the comment section or on our Instagram or Facebook. I was also going to bring up the shortage of seeds that we're expecting again in 2021. We had the 2020, obviously, that with the pandemic, it seemed like a lot more people were new gardeners. If you are one of the new pandemic gardeners of 2020, we're so excited that you took the leap of faith into, you know, providing food for your family. That's so awesome. But yeah, shortage of seeds again next year. That seems to be a concern. And I really don't know, other than making sure we get involved in the seed swaps. We order early. We find locally sourced seeds, if at all possible, because, you know, seeds in your growing zone are always more likely to do well than if you order them from California and you live in the Midwest like we do. But what other suggestions do you have to try to beat that seed shortage we're expecting?
Well, real quick, I do just want to touch on, you know, the seeds doing better if they're local to you. There's a valid actual reason for that. It's not just because, you know, you want to buy local. But if you have a plant, say you want to grow bell peppers and you buy seeds that were grown in California, those peppers have been grown for those conditions. So that provider, usually they will select the best peppers to get the best seeds. So that's the best peppers in their conditions. So if you live in Michigan and you buy peppers that were grown in California, they're probably not going to do as well. So that's definitely what Shannon was talking about with getting the local to you seeds. And we know that's not always an answer or an option. So if you can, then absolutely yes. But if you can't, then do the best with what you have. That is kind of my life's motto. Do the best with what you have, if you have it.
Totally. That's a great life motto.
But to your question, Shannon, what are some ways to get ahead of that? Some ways that I would get ahead of that would be, for sure, planning out your garden ahead of time. Know what you want to plant. If you have a list of, 400 different things that you want to plant and you wait until March, you're going to have a tough time and you're probably going to be very disappointed at the seeds that you are able to find. So I would definitely plant it out, do your top, 5, 10, 15, 20, depending on how much area you have to plant in. And then, really narrow it down to what are your must-haves and what would you like. And then those must-haves, I would order them ahead of time. Right now is a great time to order seeds.
I agree. I actually just got some seeds recently because I had to order some garlic. And so I said, why not just throw some seeds in the bucket? Every gardener's problem, always overbuying. but yeah, I think I totally agree with you. We have to plan ahead this year, especially. And we welcome all new gardeners. I don't want people who are starting new to feel like, oh, this is going to be a trouble finding seeds or getting started, or, it's too late. None of that is true. You will always be able to find, even if it's just one seed or one start from, the local big box store or the farmer's market or whatever the case may be, you can grow too. Just want to make sure you know that.
And that's another really good point. So a lot of produce that you will buy from grocery stores, seeds have been irradiated, so you're not able to plant them. Not all, but some. But you don't really run into that when you buy from a farmer's market or a local seller. They're not irradiating their seeds. They're not sending them, or they're not traveling far distances or anything. So if you can't find the seeds local to you, then a farmer's market is definitely a good option as well.
That is a great point. I did actually, I forgot all about this, but I saved some seeds myself from my spaghetti squash I got in our CSA box the other week. And I was really excited about that. I'd not grown spaghetti squash before. And as I mentioned, on a mission for the winter squash, choices for next year.
Gotcha. Now it's party time.
Party time. Party time. Harmony, why don't you tell us what party time is?
So party time is my favorite part of the day. It's when Shannon and I pull questions out of a little bottle and we do just a quick 30-second answer of whatever that question is. So Shannon is going to be our question reader this time, and she's going to go ahead and get us started.
Yes, since we're socially distancing in this podcast recording, if anybody was wondering, I can see her. But we are about a good 8 to 10 feet apart, which is lovely. So, Harmony, first question.
Yep.
What garden trend was your favorite in 2020?
Okay, so this is one that I tried to do and I failed at it completely, but garden art. And that is where people are taking their fruits and vegetables, yes, and they are creating like these mosaic pictures. They're making faces, they're making like these starburst designs, and they look amazing. And I tried it, and after about 15 minutes, I got so irritated. I just, put my peppers back in my bowl and took them inside.
I don't know if I'm creative enough to do that.
I thought I was creative, but I could not pull it off. I could not make it into anything recognizable. There was a pattern. It wasn't a good one, but there was a pattern. So definitely that's been my favorite thing to see other people do.
There's one person I follow who consistently does like a rocket or like very recognizable garden art things. That is, I really enjoy watching those too. My favorite garden trend of 2020 is probably growing luffa. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was just a 2020 trend or not, but it was new to me. And I guess I knew you could grow luffa, but I didn't like know you could grow luffa. Mm-hmm. And so just experiencing that through other people that I follow on Instagram was really cool. And I'm really excited because I actually won a giveaway from Blair Farms, and I'm going to be growing luffa in my 2021 garden. At least I hope so. So
nice. Okay.
I do here in Michigan, our weather, it's hard to get like one or two. I've seen some people get a few. So super looking forward to that.
Nice.
Okay. Let's see. Question. Harmony.
Yep.
Raised bed containers or in ground?
All of them. I actually do all of them. I would say that my favorite, probably just because I'm in Michigan now, is going to be raised beds, just because that's going to hold a little bit more heat. But you're able to do more more volume planting than in a smaller container. So if I had to pick one, I would do raised beds, but I actually do all three.
Interesting. I do raised bed and containers. I also would pick raised bed if I could only have one here in Michigan. Also because it holds, that's probably actually why there was no problems with my garden with the frost, because it held the heat so well. Also at my height 6'2", it's just really nice to not bend over all the way, honestly. So I appreciate that as well with raised beds.
And if you guys are wondering, Shannon is 6'2" and I am 5'2". So I do not have that problem, but I still like the raised beds anyway.
Yes, raised beds are the way to go. Okay, next question, Harmony. How long does it actually take for a carrot to be ready?
Ooh, well, it depends. If you're not very proficient, it could take forever. I have seen some carrots that have been planted and 4 months later there's nothing there. But it should take about three and a half months maybe. But it really depends on your soil. It depends on your watering. It depends on that. Some people grow them no problem. Some people, I'm some people who have issues with carrots. So,
you know, I've grown carrots every year. I've been a gardener. They're one of my favorite things to grow. Mm-hmm. And I've learned it's better to wait and plant them later in the season and have a frost carrot, at least here in zone 6A, to have a frost carrot, than it is to try to do the spring. And then you end up waiting all summer because the heat's so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it takes definitely 100 to 110 days. Mm-hmm. But you can leave carrots in. Even when it's snowing, like you could overwinter it if you really wanted to. So I feel like that's not a big deal. I know some people get super bummed about that. Next question. What's your predicted frost date in zone? This was clearly written before last week.
So October, what is it, 17th was when it was predicted. But for us, we already had our first frost last week.
We sure did. Moving along then, if you could garden with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be?
I would say Charles Dowding. I really like the no-dig method. And the way that he breaks things down, it just makes it so simple. And it kind of hits you and you're just like, why didn't I think of that? Or that makes total sense, you know? And it's not in a condescending way. It's just, well, obviously, you know? And it just, it makes so much sense. So I would say him for sure.
He has a very matter-of-fact way of presenting information that I really appreciate as well. And I know it's on the topic of no-till, because he really is who, in my opinion, has made it such a big, notable thing. Have you seen yet, it only came out yesterday, but have you seen yet Kiss the Ground on Netflix?
I have not, no.
If you have Netflix, and this is not a sponsor in any way, but if you have Netflix, you really should check it out. It's talking all about soil health and how the large farmers, you know, really should cut down on the tilling or actually not till at all, because we're just perpetuating a problem when it comes to climate change problems. And so it's a really good documentary, and like Giselle is in it, and there's a couple, Woody Harrelson is the voiceover guy. There's a couple of good people in there. It's definitely worth your time. Next question, Harmony. Do you hand water or have an irrigation system in your garden?
I hand water, and this is actually a funny question. So my husband specifically was like, hey, do you want me to build you an irrigation system? Do you want, you know, he's not familiar with gardening, but he really tries because he knows that it matters to me. You know, he's like, do you want little pipes running all over? And I was like, no, I enjoy hand watering because it's relaxing. And I made a garden this year that was about 3 times bigger than I ever have. And let me tell you, I do not enjoy hand watering anymore.
It can be a lot, for sure.
So that is something that is on our list of things to do. It's a little bit further down on the list of things to do, but it is on the list. So for now, I do actually hand water. And it's not awful. The reason I did like it before was because I'm not a morning person, but it was something that I would get up in the morning anyway, because I knew I wanted to do it, you know, before it got hot, before the sun came out. So it was kind of, you know, a Jedi trick that I was playing on myself to get myself up and early and around.
Totally. I agree with that. And also, I think here in Michigan, the weather can be so inconsistent that it actually can be a benefit at times to hand water than to have it on like an automated system. Like, nothing against irrigation systems. I think they're awesome and I wish I had one. But I think that, you know, just the inconsistencies in our weather can, you know, you might have to still go out there and make some changes every day with the water.
Yeah.
And I wanted to circle back. Shout out to helping spouses or partners, because honestly, it can be so much. My man carried quite a bit of dirt. If you asked him, he would always say it broke his back this summer to fill up our two new bins we got. And I know that Jordan helps you too. It's nice to have that support.
It definitely is. Definitely is. So if you have a supportive partner who helps you in the garden, whether they like it or not, we would absolutely love to hear how they do that. So if you want to go ahead, you can put that on our Instagram page or put it in the comments here. Either way is fine.
Yes. Check in with us. Tell us how or what your spouse or a partner or significant other has done to help.
Or maybe you just have a really helpful neighbor. Yeah. If you've got somebody, it doesn't have to be a partner, I guess, but if you've got somebody who's your garden partner, go ahead and give them a shout out.
Yes. Tell us about them.
All right, guys. It looks like that wraps up everything for today. But go ahead and be sure to check us out here next week. I will be uploading a new episode each Wednesday. So go ahead and keep an eye out for that. We are on all of the major podcasting platforms. So Spotify, iTunes.
Yeah, Apple Music.
Apple Music.
Find us, guys.
Just find
that
us.
That Garden Show.
Just Google That Garden Show and we will come up somewhere.
We'll see you next time.